morning. How we doing, saints? Glory, glory. Now, thank you, Father. So as we're studying the book of Job, my wife and I were having a conversation because I was finishing listening to a sermon by John Piper, and it was titled Pain and the Purpose of God. Pain and the Purpose of God. And it was interesting because as we were studying the book of Job, obviously we're studying the fact that someone had pain in multiple spheres, emotional, physical, in every way, pain experienced in their life. And so do we. So do we experience pain on a pretty much a constant basis, be it a relationship that's broken, be it a part of our body that's broken, be it something that happened years ago that's broken and painful. And interesting, because as human beings, we want to live a life that's pain-free. But, you know, the moment we got saved, God could have delivered us from all pain. But he didn't. Why didn't he? This is not my notes. I ain't even got to, I'm never even there yet. Maybe I should stop. I'm about to go somewhere. But man, I'll just go into my notes. But pain is an instructor. You know, we know when we're exercising that if we exercise to the point, you've heard this, the term no pain, no gain. Yeah, well, physical therapists would tell you, no, you need to look into that. That's not quite the way it goes. We know what they mean, though. They're talking about the burn of the muscle, you know, and so forth. That's what they're talking about. We get it. But pain is an indicator. And yet God left pain. And it befuddles some Christians. Why would a loving God, how many times you hear people say that? Why? If God is love, why? If God, how could he? It's interesting that God chose to reveal his love for us through the cross, which the hymn says is an emblem of suffering and shame. The old rugged cross, that hymn says it's an emblem of suffering and shame. And the God of love went to that cross to show us how much he loved us. But when we come to know him, we say, no, we don't want that. None of that. We just want to live pie in the sky, everything going the way I want it. But that, you know, that's not a reliable indicator of love. One man who won the lottery, he would give his granddaughter an allowance. He would just give her, I don't know, it was too much money. Put it that way. This was a late teen young adult. He gave her all this money because he wanted to show her his love. What did she do? She OD'd. She died because she took all the money that he was giving her and went and bought drugs and overdosed on it. Now you say that's one story. That's one of the many others. But just because you give a lot of stuff, that's not a reliable indicator of love. One thing we do know is this, and I may save this to next week. This is going to be short today. Y'all ready? I feel it coming. This is going to be short today. Next week. This could be short today. Because I'm feeling in my spirit, we're not going to do that today. I'm feeling we're going to do this. If the thought that I just had comes back to me, I'll bring it to you. Here it is. And you already know this, but we need to be reminded of it. And it simply is this. You cannot love someone and not sacrifice for them. You cannot love someone. First John said, if your brother is in need and destitute of daily provision, and he comes to you and you say to him, be warmed and be fed, but you don't give him the things necessary to meet his need, how dwelleth the love of God in you? That's what the scripture says, right? So the scripture says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so Romans chapter 5 says that God, verse 8, that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself, sacrificed himself for her. Love and sacrifice. Genesis 22 and 1, Abraham, yes, Lord, take Isaac, the son that you love so much, take him up on a hill and sacrifice him to me. Take him where I'll show you. Abraham, in obedience, goes. He raises the knife about to show his love by sacrificing his son. And God says, no, that's not necessary. Matter of fact, that's not sufficient. I'll sacrifice my son. That is sufficient. That will do it. So you cannot love someone in any relationship, and God deemed it first to be displayed in marriage. Why is there an attack on marriage today? Well, for decades. Why? Well, it's not anything that has to do with our generation. It happened, started in the garden, for goodness sakes. It started in the garden. Because not only did Adam's sin tear apart his relationship with God, but Adam's sin dove into his relationship with his wife. I mean, no sooner had he sinned than Adam said, she did it. The woman you gave me. The woman you gave me. But God didn't come in the garden looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam. Hello? And so the men wouldn't be in charge. I'm strong. I want this authority. Well, wife, you're supposed to submit to me. I'm like, yeah. She's supposed to submit to you just as much as you submit to Jesus. Oh, wait a second. Hold on there. No, back that up, Pastor. No, that's what the book says. So this love that God has established for us, it is not put on display without sacrifice. So when Christ came, First Peter chapter 4, ooh, my Lord Jesus, look, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good for the flesh. No, it doesn't. I'm going to read it, though. I'm going to read it. So get ready. Is it 1 Peter chapter 4? Yeah, it is. There it is. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, how did he suffer? Well, he went to a cross. But before that, they beat him. They plucked out his beard. They slammed crowns in his throne, in his head. They did all kind of pierced his side. They did all of this, right? And it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. What mind? For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And first, the whole book of 1 Peter is talking about suffering. It's kind of like the counterpart to the book of Job. But here the believers are suffering for Christ. And so I bring this up to say that, think it not strange, beloved. That's out of 1 Peter. Matter of fact, it's in verse 12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Times of suffering are coming for the church. I agree. Times of suffering. You say, what suffering? It's not suffering because, you know, you like Channel 5 and the other person like Channel 9. It's not that. No, it's suffering for the cause of Christ. And we already see it going on, you know. I believe in... I was reading earlier this past week, and I got hung up on this one line, and it was one of these books of Peter. It says, honor all men. It's what the Spirit of God said through the apostle. Honor all men. Now, for me as a Christian, that means the king, the president, those in authority. But it also means the LGBTQ. I don't remember all of it, but you know what I'm saying? Honor all men. Now, that doesn't mean you can't disagree with them. But they're still made in the image of God. They're still, right? Made. Now, but watch this. But now we're getting to the point where there, and we'll get, it'll go farther, that if you stand up for a position that is godly, but it's antithetical to this movement over here, you're going to be labeled. Your stand for Christ, and you're not bashing them with your mouth, nor should you, because that is not the Spirit of God. This is my thing with what we're going through in some parts of the church that are being affected by people who are in the church, but they're not of the church. You hear me? John said they went out from us so you could see they weren't of us. They were among us, but they were not of us. Right? So the church is being affected by that. But the true Christian is going to have to stand up one day and says, listen, I don't hate you. I don't hate you. I simply don't agree with your lifestyle. And when you say that, people say, no, that makes you a hater. And because you do that, we're going to do this to you. That's the type of suffering I'm talking about. It's coming to the church. And Peter said, if Christ suffered for you, guess what the church ought to do on behalf of Christ? Suffer. Suffer. Not only suffer, but giving praise and honor and glory to God. Acts chapter 4, was it Acts chapter 4, chapter 5? When John and Peter were left, they were beaten. When the Sanhedrin let them go, it says they went back to their place, said they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be beaten on behalf of Christ. Oh my God. Come on, church. Are we there now? No. No, we are not there. Let somebody lay a hand on you. You find out what's on the inside. Let somebody lay a hand on me. Lord Jesus. Woo! Oh, help me now. Help me now, because I don't think I'm there yet. You come at me. Come at my wife, my child. I'm not there. Lord, please help me. But Peter said that time is coming. Verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So Peter is saying, suffer. And when his glory is revealed, you're going to be with him in glory. Now, that's a future reality, but it's also a past experience, because we see it in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was stoned to death by the Sanhedrin. Paul, who was Saul then, they were laying the garments at his feet. And Saul was sitting there going, yeah, get him, get him. They stoned him to death. And while the stones were hitting him, the Bible says, listen, let me read this again and make the application. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So Stephen is being stoned, and the Bible says he gazed up into heaven and he saw the glory of God in the midst of his suffering. What's the will of God for the Christians, for his saints, in the midst of our suffering? To see the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's Jesus Christ. To see Jesus. Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And so that's where we're headed. Now, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. But because Peter said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, I'm not worried about what's coming on the earth. You know why? Because I'm getting up out of here at some point. I'm going to have to. God done fitted this generation. He fitted your generation to take it on. You know how I know that? Because they said Elon Musk done come out with a thing to put in your brain to help quadriplegics. They can talk to you stuff in your head with the chip. Put it in your head and communicate. And the person who can't talk, they can communicate just like. And they said, we want to help people. We want to help people. I said, yeah, I get that. I understand you want to help those people. It's the other people I'm worried about. Folk like me. You want to put a chip in my brain and we know where he is. We know what he's thinking. We know. I'm like, oh, no. I said, honey, no, honey. No, when that stuff starts coming down, I feel the roll being called up yonder. And the Lord said, Patrick, I said, yes, Lord. Amen. I'm like, no, no. We serve the purpose of God in our generation, Acts 13. Well, I'm here called to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Guess what? Generations come to an end. Hello? They come to an end. And when it's my time, I'm up out of here. I say to the young people, but you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Not my time, but your time. See? And then you carry on. And God will give you light and revelation and grace and all of this to carry on. But the old saints be sitting back going, what on earth are these people doing today? I haven't the faintest idea, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. But God is God over it all. And he's working his will through every generation. You agree with that? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. That's it, saints. You thought I was joking. No, I'm not. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the exhortation of your spirit. We thank you, oh God, that the spirit of God dwells within us. Lord, the grace of God rests upon our lives and is sufficient for everything we go through. Your grace is sufficient for every trial, every circumstance, Lord, every obstacle, oh God. Lord, we do not fear, we do not fret, but we look to you and know that you have gone before us in all things. So, Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that when the race is over and we run into your arms, Lord, we would hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, your will over all the churches, Lord, over the church of Jesus in every place, oh God, as you're drawing our hearts closer, deeper into yourself, deeper into the revelation of your person, oh God. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we would run into that place, oh God, and know, Lord, that you rule and reign over all things, both seen and unseen, Lord, things in heaven and things under the earth, oh God. So, Lord, have your way. Let your will be done in us, Lord, all the rest of this day and all this week as we lay down our lives, Lord, as you laid down your life for us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.